Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here on Winter Radio, where we are changing the way that we listen to the world. And we had a few tech issues today, March 25th, 2025. So as you're listening to this, we actually did piece together some of the pieces of the show. We had the recording, but there were just a few issues with it. So I'm actually re-recording the first part of the show to make sure that somehow it kind of makes sense. We just lost those first few minutes. And so if it seems odd and you say, hey, I listened to this show and I don't remember her saying this, that's why. So on today's show, this is what we covered, and what we're covering right now is we're looking at those cosmic highlights for this week, the week of March 24th. Now, of course, that includes the new moon solar eclipse at 9 Aries, which will happen on Saturday, March 29th. And also we're looking at Neptune's entry into Aries on Sunday, March 30th. Both of these are big, big, big things, but especially Neptune moving into Aries, because of course Neptune stays in a sign for 14 years. So this is big stuff when Neptune actually makes a change. But before we get into that, I always like to make a plug for Mark's Power Peak, because many of the things that we talk about on this show are taken directly from the research and the work that I do when I write the article for Mark's Power Peak every week. My article is always called The Week Ahead. So for instance, as I'm throwing around dates and saying this is going to happen here and this is the timing of something, you know, you're usually going to be able to pick up all those details if you just read the article on Mark's Power Peak. Not to mention, Mark's Power Peak is full of wonderful articles written by a number of people, you know, from a spiritual perspective, from the perspective of tarot, astrology, you name it. Just people that I'm sure that you're going to feel like you're in alignment with. So please check out Mark's Power Peak. You can subscribe by going to 12listen.com. You can go to 12house.com or just Google it, Mark's Power Peak. It's a free newsletter. Okay, before we start talking about Neptune moving into Aries or that new moon solar eclipse, I want to touch base with a couple of things that are going on this week that are also pretty important. That is specifically the two planets, Mercury and Venus, because both of these planets are currently moving retrograde, and they're moving retrograde in the sign of Aries. Now, you're going to hear Aries, Aries, Aries a lot, you know, just like Marsha, Marsha, Marsha from the Brady Bunch, because that's the season we're in. Lots of stuff is happening in Aries. But Mercury and Venus moving in those retrograde patterns, they're literally dancing together. They're kind of holding hands one day and then they move a little bit further apart. But we have the two of them pretty close in the sky right now, literally dancing together. And one of the things that you may have noticed, that certainly I've noticed in my life, is people being really adamant about their thoughts and about their opinions. Have you noticed that lately?
Have you noticed that we seem to be talking maybe more about what we really feel? And I'm not talking about just transient emotions. I'm talking about things that are important to us. Well, that's probably because Venus and Mercury are hanging out together and in a sign where it says, you know what? I want to assert myself. I want to say what I want to say. So if you've noticed that, just kind of smile, sit back and laugh, or just smile that that's the kind of energy we're going through. And, you know, don't take anything maybe I'd say overly serious. Right? Okay. This week, though, both these planets, one of the reasons I want to touch base is they're both returning to Pisces, which is the last sign of the zodiac. Aries is the first, Pisces is the last. And of course, that means they're intricately tied together, just like the new moon that we're going to have. You know, when a cycle ends, we release one particular cycle and move into the next. So both of these planets in their retrograde motion are going back into Pisces this week. Venus is going to do it on Thursday. Mercury's going to do it on Saturday. So just this review, Venus did retrograde on March 1st. She's going to be retrograde until April 12th. Okay, so and she's going to go back to, because I know some of you might be going, well, where's she going back to? She's going back to 24 Pisces. And one reason I want to emphasize that too is because those last degrees of Pisces right now are very important. There's a lot of activity going on there. So if you know your personal chart, and if you know that you have planets in those late degrees, and I would say really of any sign, but particularly if it's in the sign of Pisces, then heads up, pay attention, because those energies are being activated. Maybe you're getting, you know, intuitive messages. Maybe psychic information is coming in. Doesn't mean you have to believe everything that comes, but this is a great time for practicing intuition. But it's 24 Pisces where Venus is going to go back to. And then Mercury, which started its retrograde on March 14th, it's only retrograde for 3 weeks. So it's going to be finished on April 7th. It's going to return to 26 Pisces. So see, once again, all those late degrees, you know, every sign has 30 degrees. And usually we say it starts with zero and ends with 29. So those late degrees are important right now. So just pay attention. All right, let's move on to the new moon at 9 Aries on Saturday. Now, of course, this is also a partial solar eclipse. And every new moon is a representation of the opportunity to begin again, to start all over again. And every 29 and a half days, we have that opportunity with a new moon. But when it's also a partial solar eclipse, that means that the Earth is involved in the lineup in some way or another. So in this case, it means from a psychological standpoint or from an astrological standpoint, that it's kind of a super, you know, new moon. It has maybe extra energy, or it's more potent in terms of really releasing things and beginning something new. So this one is a big new moon. So maybe you don't pay too much attention to the new moons. Maybe you do. But this is a particular important one, especially when you think about it in terms of where it's sitting with some of the other events that are happening, including the fact that Neptune and Saturn are both going to move into Aries this year. Neptune's going to do it on Sunday, the day after the new moon. But when I said there's lots of Aries energy, there really is. And so when I look forward and see Neptune and Saturn both moving into Aries this year, I'm looking at the new moon in Aries this year. And it's going to be this one that's on Saturday, the 29th of March. So once again, you don't have to do anything in particular, but I would just say pay attention. You know, kind of take some notes. How are you feeling? What's going on for you? Because this is a time that, I often find as an astrologer, sometimes it's not what's actually going on that day that I really notice, but it's afterwards. I mean, afterwards, I realize something going on in somebody else's life, something going on in another part of the world will end up having an impact on me. Maybe it's that, I don't remember what they call it now, but you know, the butterfly flaps its wings across the world and all of this, you know, and then it has an influence on you. Well, that's what it feels like to me. And often when I'm looking at somebody's chart or even my own chart, I'll look and go, oh my gosh, you know, when this first started or when that person did that or when that move happened or when whatever, that was on the new moon or that was on the eclipse. So I may not notice it that day. So that's another thing. Don't look at your life and think, oh, well, nothing happened, you know, and nothing's going on here. You know, it's kind of like being pregnant. You don't see a whole lot in the beginning, right? You don't even know, you know, I mean, that somebody else is pregnant, or maybe you don't even know you're pregnant, but it doesn't mean nothing's going on. Oftentimes, there's something going on. So that new moon is early, by the way. It happens at 3:58 a.m. That's Pacific time. And just giving you a few ideas, I'm going to go back to Raven Caldera, who is a favorite of mine when it comes to talking about moons. He wrote a book on moon phases. And I'll tell you what, it was something that really changed my life and changed the way I see astrology. I haven't read his other books. I have like one other of his books, but it's the moon phases I love. But when he talks about a new moon in Aries, this is what he says. It's an infant. It's a baby. Now, we're talking about emotions, right? He says it's the living archetype of the Aries sign. And he describes it as greedy and hungry for love, experience, and happiness. And I want it now. So once again, think about it emotionally like a baby. A baby doesn't tend to say, oh, well, mom didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night, so I think I'm just going to sleep in, or I'm just going to lay here and entertain myself. No, a baby, it's all about me. I'm here. Feed me. Take care of me. Touch me. Give me attention. So Aries energy emotionally is about trust and faith and excitement. And like a baby, we act from instinct. We expect our needs to be met, and we get disappointed, sometimes even outraged, and very vocal when they're not. Now, here again, I'm talking mostly about the moon as it goes through Aries, because moon is emotional expression. But some of these qualities that we will see carry over into Aries in general. But we're going to talk a little bit more about Aries and not so specific to the moon in a few minutes. But what I think with this new moon is, you know, as adults, oftentimes we lose our passion from time to time. You know, that lust for life, the excitement, it's not new anymore, or it's hard to get in touch with something. Well, a new moon in Aries every year gives us that opportunity to kind of touch base again. And what it feels like to me is striking a match. It reignites a fire that was always there. It never really goes out. So the new moon is that strike, that match strike. And because we have those other planets that are going to pretty much stick around in Aries for a while, we're going to have that opportunity to touch base. So there again, if you happen to be a person who goes, yeah, everything's just boring, I'm a little over it or whatever, then you may find that this is a really enlightening, a really inspiring energy. Now, I also want to point out that the chart for this new moon, and I'm sorry I don't have a picture. I probably should have had a picture in Facebook, but I'm going to ask you to use your imaginations. This new moon chart, of course, it looks like a circle, but there are all these planets lined up in Pisces and in Aries. So that's the picture of what this energy is. So we've got Saturn, the planet of discipline and organization, sitting next to the north node of the moon. And I, for simplification, I'd say that's destiny. Then next door to that is Venus, which is the planet of values. Then right next door to that is Neptune, the planet of transcendence that we're going to be talking about. And all of those are just all lined up. And they're closely aligned between 24 and 29 degrees of Pisces. So here again, just imagine this circle. Just imagine the chart. It's like boom, 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 boom. Then immediately next door is Mercury. In thinking, and that's a planet of thinking and communication. Next door to that is the sun, which is ego, our sense of individual identity. Next door to that, and it's not even hardly next door because on the new moon, they're together, is the moon, which represents emotional expression. And then a little bit further down in Aries is Chiron. So once again, it's almost, you know, some astrologers, I think they call it the locomotive when you see this kind of energy, because they're just boom, boom, boom. All these, you know, planetary cars are all lined up, you know, just going all in one direction. And so it's a pretty, just amazing thing to see it that way, but also to understand how each of those planets are really influencing the planets next to them, and then the ones next to that, and the ones next to that. So this is an energy that maybe works like a locomotive. I mean, it's going places. And remember, fire energy, which is Aries, is always about inspiration. You know, remember that. Fire wants to inspire, and it wants to be inspired. And if you think about the derivative of that word, it means to be filled with spirit, wants to be passionate, wants to be moved by something, wants to be motivated. But one of the things I like about seeing all these planets all lined up between Pisces and Aries is it makes me feel that we really have all the tools that we need. You know, we're not lacking anything. And I think on a metaphysical, spiritual level, we aren't ever lacking anything. But in this particular case, it's almost like the cosmos is telling us, you've got all the tools you need. you need to structure something here. I've given you Saturn. You know, you need to do, you know, to transcend some limitation. Here it is. Here's Neptune. So we have all the tools to literally look at where we are in life and to complete something, maybe complete a chapter, release something, say, yeah, I'm ready to turn the page. And then to open that new page with all that Aries energy. So you might also hear another visual might be that you see a number of actors and they're all on in the wings. You know, they're all waiting to go on stage in the theater. They're all ready to do their parts. They know their parts. They're going to do their parts wonderfully. But they're just all ready. They're all there. They've practiced. They've rehearsed. They know what they're doing. So that's just a visual. I don't know if it works for you or not, but if it does. So for our part, I think what we need to do is be vessels that are ready for revelation and inspiration to literally flow through us, you know, to just come in and tell us what we need. And here again, sometimes I think we're waiting for these great aha moments, and sometimes they're actually quite small. Just little things. Just start paying attention. I think that's one of the biggest things, you know, stay awake, pay attention. Because we've got this wonderful, all these wonderful opportunities. But as we really approach this new moon, and even Neptune moving into Aries, but specifically the new moon, I'd say, you know, and I think this is always good advice, adopt the mind of the student. Just be willing to learn something. And have the faith of the infant. Because, you know, another part of that Aries energy when it's in a new moon is the baby who assumes it's going to be taken care of. It assumes the world is there for its pleasure. You know, I cry and I get milk, I get fed. You know, I cry and all my needs are met. So there's faith in that Aries energy. That's the little child who is just so excited. You know, they wake up in the morning and they're not depressed or wondering what the heck's going to happen today. They're excited. They're laughing. You know, they're ready to get up. Their eyes are wide open. So the faith of the infant and the open mind of the student. Try to have those as we approach this time of year. And I'd also say, try not to push the river or get ahead of yourself in terms of specific outcomes. And I say that, and I know it probably sounds a little contradictory, but there is one thing. We feel like we just need to rush headlong into some of this energy. And you know what? I don't think that's the way it's set up. And I think especially this year, we came into this year with Mars retrograde. Mars, the planet of motivation and action. And it just seems like there have been lots of reminders along the way that, yes, get excited, get ready for something, but don't try to push the river. Don't try to get ahead of yourself. So one way to do that, maybe, especially let's say you do have some long-term goals. Well, set reasonable short-term goals that you can click those off. You can see that you're making headway without saying it's got to be today. You know, try, because, and I'll tell you, it's hard with Aries, because the Aries is that energy, boom, 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 boom. And, you know, the whole idea of Aries really, ruled by Mars, is that we're going to rush out. We're going to go up against obstacles. If something's there in my way, it's there for me to push it over. It's me, you know, it's there for me to conquer it. So it's hard. I mean, you know, this is fire energy. But I'd say, if possible, just try to moderate that kind of energy, almost like turning down the fire a little bit, if you can. Be ready to do the work and take a few risks, but try to do it, you know, with a certain pace. And here again, I just told you, Saturn's right there. Saturn is the planet of organization and discipline. So we've got the tool that we need to make a plan rather than to just race right out and do something, you know, go buy the paint for the, you know, to paint the whole house without really testing it first. We've got the discipline to do that if we want to. So also try to balance the spiritual with the material, understanding that they work together. I mean, and you know, think about it. Every great building, every bridge, every project started out as an idea. And most of them, especially the big ones, the good ones, the enduring ones, they all had an architectural plan. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one of these people, like, My mom is an incredible seamstress, and she tried to teach me how to sew. Now, I know a little bit about sewing, but I, you know, she wanted me to practice everything. I didn't want to practice. I just wanted to do it. Just give me the scissors. Just let me do this. Well, I did many, many, many things wrong. And it was very frustrating to me. I didn't have the patience. I mean, literally, I'll tell you what, my mom would make clothes and she'd use patterns, but she'd, you know, alter them to, you know, to make sure that they really fit, you know, if you were long-waisted, you know, short-waisted, whatever. But she would often make them out of what's called muslin, which is a very cheap fabric. And she would make it out of that to make sure that it fit. I mean, that was her test. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't make a dress or a blouse or, I mean, I'm not going to be making something out of, you know, a practice fabric before I make it out of the real thing. I mean, trust me, I got a lot of areas in my chart, and that's hard to do. But on the other hand, if we really think about it, if we kind of go back to that, we have a spiritual blueprint. You know, remember, and in fact, Emmett Fox, who I don't even know if I want to call him a theologian. He was certainly an inspirational speaker from decades ago. He wrote a little tiny book called The Mental Equivalent. And it's a book that also, that book changed my life because he talks about how every single thing that manifests in the physical universe has a mental equivalent, has a mental foundation that came before the manifestation. So just remember that too. We're spiritual beings and we can have that mental equivalent. All right. Now we're going to talk about that more later. So let's get moving. I want to keep moving. We're halfway through the show. And truthfully, I've got pages and pages of notes. We're not going to get through all of them today, but that's in a sense, I knew that that was going to happen. We're talking about big energy here and it's going to take weeks and we're going to keep touching base with Neptune and Aries, but we do need to do an introduction today or I'd like that because Neptune is moving on Sunday. So before we talk again, this is going to happen. Neptune is moving into Aries on Sunday, March 30th, 5 a.m. Pacific time. Now, to kind of set the stage, and I'll go through some things in here again. Some of these will be in Mark's Power Peak. You can go look them up. Or they're things that we will touch base on or go back over from time to time. But Neptune is a 14-year transit. That's how long Neptune stays in a particular sign. So once it moves on Sunday, outside of a few retrogrades, it's going to be in Aries until March of 2039. So now think about this. You know, this is a decade and a half that we're going to have Neptune in a new sign. In Aries. Now, I mentioned the retrograde. We, you know, Neptune goes retrograde every single year and usually for 4 or 5 months. But there again, it moves very, very slowly. So what's going to happen this year? It is going to go retrograde. And I don't remember the date that it's going to go retrograde, but by October 22nd is when it's actually going to return to Pisces. And then from October 22nd, you know, it does its retrograde and at some point it'll come out of retrograde and it will return to Aries on January 26th, 2026. Nice little synchronicity there, right? So in truth, yes, for a few months, mostly the end of October, November and December and part of January, it's going to be back in Pisces. Now, there's another reason this is important. And that is because that it's going to sit at 29 degrees of Pisces. Now, you know, a lot of astrologers believe that that 29th degree is always really pivotal. It's the very last degree in a sign. And I want to give everybody a heads up. If you have a planet at 29 degrees of Pisces, or maybe you have a house cusp at 29 degrees of Pisces. Well, to me, I'll tell you what it feels like, especially when a planet goes retrograde. It's almost like, oops, I forgot something. I'm not quite finished. There's one more message. There's one more thing I want to take care of. There's one more little thing that this person needs to know or this person needs to experience. Now, obviously, the planets, I'm personifying them here. They don't do that. But that's what it feels like. Like Neptune goes, oops, I'm just not quite finished yet. I'm going to go back and I'm going to touch base with 29 Pisces. So you got a planet there, a house cusp, then heads up. But also, I think truly, if you have 29 degrees on any house cusp or on any planet, then I think it's a heads up. And think about it this way. With Virgo, that's the opposite sign to Pisces. So yeah, something's moving. There's some balancing act that needs to come in there as Neptune sits at that degree. If you have 29 Gemini or 29 Sagittarius, well, guess what? That's a square. So once again, Neptune is going, hey, wait, pay attention to me. It may even feel a little confusing or something that you thought you really knew, something you thought you knew really well. Or Gemini, radio, communications. It's like Neptune's going, wait, wait, wait. I'm not quite finished yet. Please listen to what I'm saying. So those are going to be squares. If you have 29 Leo or Libra, you're also going to feel, I'm not sure if it's going to be confusion, but you're going to feel a little disconnect. And that's because that's an inconjunct Neptune sitting at 29 Pisces. So once again, this is not something that you dread. I think it's a gift. It's a parting gift where Neptune literally goes, wait a minute, I still have something left in my Santa Claus bag. I still have something left. So I'm going to go back to 29 Pisces. I'm going to give it to all these people. And then I'm going to head into Aries and I'm going to stay there for the next 14 years. So just heads up, we'll talk about that obviously in the future. As we get closer to that point, you know, October 22nd, we will be talking about it. And there again, it's always going to be a Mars power peak. And you know, I am toying with the idea of maybe teaching some classes on Went to Academy, and maybe Neptune would be a good topic. We'll see how that works out. But you can, you know, you're going to know, you know, all the astrologers on Went to Radio are going to be talking about it. And we're going to be talking about it in various ways, through articles and Mars Power Peak, et cetera. All right, so as we continue with our introduction to Neptune, and many of these things I'm going to say over and over and over, partially, I guess, because that's me. You know, I can be that way. I obsess it. But it's also that's how we learn. When we hear, I mean, you know, just the other day, I was listening to a podcast that I probably have listened to 5 or 6 times. And the person doing the podcast said something and I go, I do not remember ever hearing this. And so how could I have heard it 5, 6, maybe even more times? Never heard this. Well, I think it's surely I could have forgotten. Or maybe at the time that I heard it, it just didn't. You know, it just didn't stick or it didn't resonate. And so I'm just kind of moving right along, which is why I listen to those podcasts over and over, because I know I'm going to hear something new. So it's the same way with astrology. So I hope the repetition isn't boring. I hope it's something that, you know, at one point you hear it and you go, oh my God, I understand what that means, or I get that. So Neptune is the planet that reminds us that we are souls having a physical experience. Now, there's a lot more to it, but Neptune is that planet that when we connect to it, we remember we are so much more than our bodies. We are so much more than our physical experience. Now, just as a little, you know, this is something I consider a cheat sheet. You know, when you think of all these planets and what they do, I mean, you know, you go, the sun is ego, the moon is emotional expression. And, you know, some of these outer planets, Jupiter expands everything it touches. Saturn organizes and consolidates everything it touches. Uranus shatters everything it touches because it's moving through limitations. Pluto destroys, evolves, and transforms and regenerates. What does Neptune do? Neptune dissolves and transcends Neptune is equivalent to water. And think about water, not only absorbing everything, like for instance, you put one drop of red dye or one drop of anything into a glass of water. Can you get it back out? No, it becomes part of that water. Now, if you're a chemist, you'd probably say, oh, I know a way to get that back out, but don't go there, okay? Neptune absorbs that energy. It dissolves what it comes into contact with, but it also transcends. That's that ability. It's not just, you know, pretending that we're not bodies. It's being able to transcend the limitations of the physical universe. And oftentimes that's just for a moment that we can remember that we're so much more than a body. But I'll tell you what, you wouldn't believe in alternative medicine. You wouldn't believe in meditation or psychic abilities or intuition if you didn't have something of Neptune in your heart, in your mind, whatever. Because that's Neptune that says there is something invisible that connects all of us. That invisibility, that communication that isn't in words, it's in something else. And oftentimes we see Neptune, that kind of energy, though, moving through things like music. You know how music really does communicate. You can just start crying or be really happy when you hear a piece of music or a particular song. What is that? It's not necessarily the words. In fact, when I'm talking Neptune, we're not talking words. We're talking a whole other level of our being. And Neptune rules movies and film and pictures. And it's the same way. Do you have that picture that just tells a whole story or a movie that you'll never forget? Neptune is the planet that is most highly associated with those things. Neptune is the dreamer. Now, I am going to go with a couple of quotes here because these people were not born with Neptune in Aries. And by the way, to find people that were born with Neptune in Aries, even the last time, it had to have been at least 164 years ago, right? So we will talk about some of those people in the next few weeks too. But I have a few quotes that I've selected because all of these people have Neptune, I would say, highly influencing their charts. Let's put it that way. Or they have them in a particular place where I think you hear the Neptune influence in their quotes. So that's what I wanted to give you some of these quotes today. Because even if you just hang on to one of them, you might go, this is Neptune. This is what Neptune feels like. So the first one, I've already kind of paraphrased it. This is C.S. Lewis, who is a Christian theologian. And he said, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. Now, he had Neptune in Gemini, side of communication, opposite Mercury, the planet of thinking. So once again, when you look at that, now, obviously, there's a lot of other things going on in these people's charts, but just look at that. His Neptune was opposite Mercury. He thought differently than most people. His thinking did, I mean, most of what he wrote, most of what he did, he also did the children's series, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And think that was incredibly influential and is still influential in terms, and it's a spiritual basis. That's what he's writing about. So Neptune in Gemini opposing Mercury. So that's C.S. Lewis. Now, the next one is Albert Einstein. And of course, he has so many quotes that would really represent Neptune, but this is the one I chose. Reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. So once again, he said, don't believe what you see. You know, there is something else. Reality is an illusion. Now, his Neptune was in Taurus. And I noticed this about a few people that I think are very Neptunian. His Neptune was conjunct, meaning sitting right next door to Chiron, the wounded healer. So I thought that was interesting too, you know, and there again, I'm going to give myself some time to kind of explore that and think about what that means. But his Neptune was also square, meaning creating an adjustment, something needed to be changed and adjusted. His Neptune was square in the north and south nodes at the time that he was born. And see, that strikes me as very interesting too, because that's it. His Neptune came in to really shift that balance, you know, to really challenge both of those points, to challenge the past and what the future looked like. Now, the next one is Robert Kennedy, and I'm talking about the one born in 1925, the brother of President Kennedy. He said, there are, and this is a very famous line, there are those who look at things the way they are and ask why. I dream things that never were, and I ask, why not? Now, he had Neptune in Leo square his sun, square his ego. So there again, you know, it strikes me, you know, that that's it, that Neptune is squaring the his very ego. So, you know, I want to dream things that never were and say, why not? His Neptune was also trine, meaning in a very good relationship, to his Chiron. It was also trine his Mercury, the thinking planet, in Sagittarius. In fact, he had a grand trine in the fire signs. And that makes sense to me, because if you read a lot of things that he wrote, if you look at his particular lifetime and the things that he was involved in, you know, a mover and a shaker, lots of fire, provocative, going up against people. You know, I think he made a lot of enemies in his life, truthfully, but that grand trine in fire. And here again, we're not, you know, I just am throwing these out just as little tidbits, you know, something you might want to look up for yourself or just think about these people. So the last one that I've got is Carl Jung, you know, the psychologist. And he said, who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakes. So once again, turning, in a sense, our thinking, our world upside down, just turning it on its ear, so to speak. He had Neptune in Taurus. It was square his sun, which was in Leo. So once again, you know, going against everything, you know, I don't believe what I see. I believe something else. I mean, I know there's something else there. His Neptune was also conjunct his Chiron. So those are just some ideas that I want to throw out there. You know, there's lots more, but just, you know, if you hang on to one of those, it might be interesting for you. So I'm looking at the clock and I realize we really have less than 10 minutes, but we're going to talk about Neptune. At least we're going to start getting into this, and then we're going to continue, because Neptune, one of my favorite planets, I like it. I'm a Pisces sun. So I guess, of course, Neptune rules Pisces. And Neptune rules the 12th house of the astrological chart. So you may not have Pisces in your 12th house, but that's a 12th house. That 12th house energy is a Piscean or a Neptunian kind of energy, astrologically speaking. Now, the archetypes, we've talked about the dreamer. This is also the archetype of the mystic and a couple of other associations. In the tarot, Neptune is the hanged man. And there again, there's lots of different meanings for the hanged man, but the ones that, you know, just come to mind that I want you to think about is that things are upside down. They're not what they seem. They're not what they look like. Or are they right side up? You know, which is the way that it should look. Now, the hanged man often involves sacrifice. Doing something either for another person, for the greater good, sacrificing something, doing something differently in order to get where you want to go, and not pushing the river, quit struggling, allowing. Now, and here's a small thing that, you know, I always find meaning in lots of different things. One of the things sometimes I'll do if I just need a minute break is I play solitaire on my phone, especially I'm in the yard a lot with my dog and coyotes, you know, so we had a coyote adventure just last week, so I have to really be on my toes. But, you know, I'll put a solitaire game. Well, what I've noticed is that sometimes the way to win the game is to do something that seems very counterintuitive, to not make the play that I think is the best play. And in fact, by the way, if I don't win a hand, oftentimes I go back and I play it again. And I say, how could I have won this hand? And what I've noticed is sometimes it's doing kind of the counter thing, the opposite thing, the upside down thing. And when I do make that move, then I win the game. And see, that is an interesting just life lesson that sometimes or oftentimes life doesn't just meet, you know, doesn't move sequentially. Boom, boom, boom. It's not exactly what you think. And sometimes, just like with detours, and detours can be very purposeful, by the way. You know, oftentimes if I get lost or if I'm on a detour, I say to myself, there's something here I need to see. There's something here I need to learn, I need to do, because it's going to be helpful to me in the future. So life doesn't have to be a mistake. Oh, I made a mistake here, a mistake there. Now, granted, there are some things I go, boy, I wish I didn't do that. But I'm just trying to get the idea of this hanged man. When things seem upside down, sometimes that's how you're going to see most clearly. Is when you're seeing it upside down, from side to side, when you're seeing it differently. And with that solitaire game, like I said, I just think it's kind of interesting that the best move, the move that's logical, the one that seems like the best move, is not. And I win the game only when I'm willing to take a step sideways or backwards, and then I win the game. So sometimes the goal isn't, I mean, most of the time, but I'm, you know, most of the time, the goals that we're going after are not going to be a straight trajectory. But also think about this, because Aries doesn't believe that. Aries goes, no, charging forward, right? I am charging forward into whatever it is. I want to prove myself. I want to be first. I want to see the Aries wants to be excited. And so now we've got this Neptunian planet, this planet that is the part of our psyche that allows us to dream and imagine. It's sensitive and impressionable. It's where we identify with our psychic and mystic abilities. It's where we're the psychic sponge, where we see ourselves as more than our physical body. And how we move beyond physical boundaries and join our minds to others, that invisible communication. It's how we want to merge with others. It's how we dissolve and break down those inner boundaries and barriers. That is in a fire sign that says, follow me, boys, let's go. You know, this is excited kind of energy. So, and I have a whole lot more about Neptune itself, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to kind of skip over that to just literally talk about Aries a little bit. And then we'll go back. And like I said, next week and in the weeks ahead, we'll talk more about some of the specifics of Neptune. But for now, just remember, it's that planet that is associated with dreams, creativity, imagination, spirituality, the unseen parts of our lives. Aries is a cardinal fire sign. And I will admit, I even wrote in the Power Peak, this is not a marriage made in heaven. You know, Neptune rules Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac, water, everything that is unseen. Aries is like, no, here I am. You know, one of the colors for Aries is red. So think, you know, as a cardinal fire sign, it's initiating, it's quick, it's active, it's spontaneous, and it's unpredictable. The first sign of the zodiac. And remember that it's ruled by Mars, the planet of the will, you know, the planet of action. Mars is the planet of springtime, of agriculture, and it's the god of war. So Aries, some of its defining characteristics are youthful, eager, ambitious, risk-taking, daring, forceful, assertive, bold, fearless, competitive, and did I mention independent? Now think about that. And here again, with astrology, what can be so much fun is matching the characteristics of a planet. Think of a planet as a character. You know, an actor. And now they need to dress themselves in the costume of a sign. They need to take on those characteristics. What does it look like when Neptune, this very, you know, ephemeral kind of energy, is all of a sudden the Aries warrior? So one of the things you can do this week, and like I said, we'll play with this, you know, in the show in weeks going forward, but how does that match up? When Neptune's on that stage, how is Neptune dressed? Like a warrior. You know, is it red? Is it black? A lot of, you know, spiky, you know, helmets or weapons. What does that look like? And as I said, I don't think it's a match made in heaven, but the truth is it can be, in a sense, a heavenly match for us. Because I do think Neptune, the planet of the spirit, in an independent sign like Aries, and this is what you're going to hear over and over, this is an opportunity for personal spiritual development and gaining maturity. Because that is some of the things that we're going to see. And I don't like to get into a lot of predictions, but, you know, we're going to see people being very, very independent or wanting to be independent in their spiritual beliefs. You know, it could have lots of repercussions with organized religion, because now it's like people wanting to wake up. They want to do it on their own. They want to have a certain independence in their spiritual thinking and their spiritual beliefs and how those work out in the world. You know, that's one of the things we're going to see. And here again, I do want to go into some of the history, but we're not going to do that today. We do not have the time, so we will go back and kind of touch base with those. But I want you to just think about what it feels like to have that Neptunian energy, creativity moving through Aries. And one of the things is, you know, I also want to go through a list of people that were born with that Neptune in Aries. And here again, we won't look at their charts today, but Benjamin Franklin, Orville Wright, you know, one of the Wright brothers, Henry Ford, look at what he did in terms of movement, Neptune in Aries, H.G. Wells, Gandhi, Winston Churchill. And here's an interesting one. I don't know how he says his first name, Aloy. Alzheimer was born with Neptune in Aries. And I say that because he's responsible. He was one of the first people that identified the kind of dementia that we now called we call Alzheimer's. So that's interesting. This is for inventors, Aries pushing through, you know, being the inventor, being the innovators. That's the kind of energy you see with Neptune in Aries. So I know I went through some of this really quickly, and we are going to look at some of these in the next few weeks. And speaking of the next few weeks, we've got all this stuff going on. But you know what? On Monday the 31st, there's not one single major aspect between planets or between the moon and the planets. And I'll tell you what, you hardly ever see that. So yeah, it is going to be this big rush. But maybe we go into the next week just taking a breath. So that's going to be next Monday. All right. Well, guys, we really do need to wrap this up. So thank you so much for joining me today. To all the listeners and to those people who did come into the chat room, thank you so much. And thanks to our producer. We actually have kind of a combination today. Serena and Mark Hudson are in the background today, making sure the shows are, you know, on the platform. So thank you very much for that. Please stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone coming up next. And I do want to leave you with this quote. This is H.G. Wells, Neptune in Aries. And he said, "Every time I see an adult on a bicycle, I no longer despair for the future of the human race." That's a great quote. All right, this is CA signing out. You can find me on 12listen.com. Please don't hesitate to ask for a callback or a scheduled call at a time that's good for you. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology.